Everyone, a few weeks ago when I talked, we talked about heaven being a place, and this morning we're going to talk about heaven, a city. If you got your Bible, turn over to Revelation chapter 21, and we're going to start in verses 1 through 5. It says in verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are faithful and true." We talk about heaven being a place, but it's not just a place. Heaven is also a city. It is not like any of our cities here on earth. Heaven is a holy city. Heaven is a city from God. Heaven is a prepared city, prepared by God. Look at Revelation 21, verses 22 and 23. It says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof." And then it also says in chapter 22, verse 5, "And there shall be no night there, and need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light." In our daily earthly lives, we depend on some kind of light to help us see as we go about our daily routines. We have the sun to light our way during the day. We have headlights on our cars so that we can see while driving at night. We have lights in our houses. We have flashlights, street lights, security lights, night lights, and many other types of lights. Some of us even have spotlights so we can shine things that we shouldn't shine at night. But we won't need any of those lights in heaven, because the glory of God will shine brighter than all of those lights. Revelation 21:25 says, "For there shall be no night there." We won't have to worry about how much the light bill is, because the Lord God Almighty is going to supply all the light that we need. I don't know about y'all, but them light bills, they come regularly, and they seem to get more and more, just keep increasing. We won't have to worry about that in heaven. There will be no darkness in heaven. What a change that will be. How difficult to imagine such a place our Lord and Savior has prepared for us. Revelation 21:4 says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." You know, sometimes our sweetest days give birth to our greatest sorrows. All this will be changed, and everything that gives pain and sorrow will be forever barred from heaven. How bright the eyes, undimmed by a tear, how strong and free our souls and bodies will be, utter and eternal strangers to pain. How bright and joyous our hearts will be, with never a cloud or sorrow. How full of richest and largest life, untouched by decay and unshadowed by death, heaven will be. Revelation 21:22 says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Heaven is a city of life. It has never felt the touch or chill of death. Graves have never been dug there. Cemeteries are unknown. Heaven is a city of life, majestic, glorious life, a life that knows no tears, never feels sorrow, and never decays. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 16. It says in verse 16, it says, "But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. The city's maker and builder is God, for he hath prepared for them a city. God dug and laid its deep foundation. God designed it, God built it, God finished it, God lives in it. All life is there direct from God. God is its life. God is the architect and the contractor and drew the plans. God used his own wisdom, his divine skill, and his faultless taste was brought into perfection for the design of the city that was to be the forever home of all his children. The same God that has built a city in heaven for us is the same God that laid the foundations of the world and spoke everything into existence." You know, as we think about, you just step outside and just look around at all the things that God created and that man had nothing to do with. You can only imagine how heaven's going to be when you just look, because there's so many things that we haven't even seen in this world. You know, I wonder if even in eternity, if we'll get to see everything that God has prepared in heaven. You know, we go to different cities or different towns and you see things that you didn't see before here on earth. And maybe that's how it's going to be when we get to heaven. There's going to be different things, you know, that we're going to get to see at different times. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. It says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. This is a city of the living God. We don't serve a dead Savior. He is very much alive, and his home is in heaven. But if you are saved, he lives within your heart. Heaven is a city protected by jeweled walls. In the Bible times, a city was a place where treasure was stored, and its walls kept it safe. Heaven is a city with many treasures, godly treasures, not like our worldly treasures. Heaven is called the New Jerusalem, not only in opposition to and not only in opposition to and distinction from the old Jerusalem, but also to designate its freshness and eternal newness. There will never be dullness or any decay in that heavenly city." Can you think about that? You go working on an old house and you might find, you know, there's rot in the wood or there's termites in the wood or stuff has just started decaying, but we won't have any of that kind of thing in heaven. The term city is a familiar type of heavenly land and heavenly life. A city is the center of power and of life, and heaven is a great city. All the principles and facts that the term city brings to mind find their full expression there. The idea of a jeweled and golden city expresses the unsurpassed loveliness and preciousness of that city and its life. The jewels are in the foundations of its walls, and in its streets are made of gold. The most costly materials of earth are used for the lowest and most common uses of heaven. Heaven is called a city in reference to the original meaning of the word city, which is fullness. Heaven will be full, but only full of the ones that have believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Look in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. It says, enter ye in the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Verse 14, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. The way that leadeth to destruction is the way of man. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Man's ways and God's ways are not the same. Man's ways are the ways that please the flesh and the world. God's ways are the ways that please Him. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. There is only one way to have eternal life, and that's through God's only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, some people say there's many ways to get to heaven, but my Bible teaches there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. The road to heaven is indeed narrow, the gate straight, and few find it. But each community and each generation contributes its few who dare to be singular, who are brave enough to stand up for God's word, and one day they will enter into that heavenly city. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16 says, for God hath prepared for them a city. Heaven is a prepared city. Our homes are already built. Everything is ready and furnished by taste and care, and stops at no expense. Everything is as brilliant as a diamond and is pure. Everything about the city is most exquisite in charms, most precious in value, and most costly in richness. Look at back in Revelation chapter 21. In verses 9 through 11, it says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And then verses 18 through 21, it says, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth a emerald, the fifth a sardonyx, the sixth sardius, and the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, and the ninth topaz, and the tenth chrysoprase, and the 11th jaspis, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, and the seventh, and every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of that city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Jesus tells us a little bit about that heavenly city, or John tells us a little bit about that heavenly city. But in reality, we can't even comprehend what it's going to be like. You know, as I was working on this lesson, I thought about the lyrics to a song. And I like to listen to music, and I used to be country music, but I don't listen to that. But I listen to stuff that uplifts the Lord and talks about, you know, I like to listen to stuff that talks about heaven or talks about the Lord, or lifts the Lord up. But I thought about this song, and the lyrics go like this. As I prepared, or it's called, Oh, What a City. It goes like this. There's a city over yonder, not made with human hands, a place where no heartache will ever trouble man. All the poets and great authors cannot really describe all the beauty that's waiting inside. Oh, what a city, what a land. On the hills of Zion, I know I'll stand. No more crying, No more dying, no more pain for us to bear. Oh, what a city he's gone to prepare. There's no need for the sun there, for its light would be too dim compared to the glory of the light that shines within. For the Lamb slain on Calvary shines brighter than the sun for all God's children who've overcome. Talking about that city, and I wanted to go back and look at the 12 foundations. And number one, it talks about the first of the foundations is the jasper stone. And that jasper stone is a blackish green stone with white within it. You know, I've never seen a jasper stone. I don't know if any of y'all have, but I imagine it's going to be a pretty stone. And then number two is a sapphire. And it's a deep purplish blue color. And then number three is that chalcedony stone, which is a translucent variety of quartz in various colors with a waxy luster, so it's going to be kind of shiny. And number four, the emerald, and it's a rich green gemstone. Number five, the sardonyx, is having parallel layers of sard, which is a reddish brown color. And number six is a sardius, and it's some sort of ruby. Number seven is a crystallite, and I could find no definition, so if you want to find out what that is, you're going to have to wait till you get to heaven. Number eight is that beryl, and it's a mineral consisting of a silicate or beryllium and aluminum of great hardness that occurs in colorless hexagonal prisms when pure and in various colors when not pure. That is the value as a source of gems. And number nine, a topaz. It's usually a yellow to brownish yellow transparent mineral. Topaz used as a gem. And then this word, Christophrus, could find no definition on that. So that's another one. If you want to find out what it looks like, you're going to have to wait till you get to heaven. Number 11, that jacinth, is a gem orange in color. And then number 12, that mentalis is a clear purple or bluish violet. So there's going to be a lot of different colors up in heaven. And you know, we can't even picture it. We're going to have streets of gold and walls with all these different gems and colors in it. And in this world, death reigns. In heaven, life reigns. Look back in Revelation chapter 22, or over in 22, verses 1 through 3. And it says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." We are constantly reminded that heaven is all purity. The tree of life will continually produce its fruit with the freshness, frequency, and energy of every month of monthly crops. Its very leaves are for healing. You know, can you picture just having one tree instead of having multiple fruit trees all around the yard, just having one tree that produces different fruit every month? It says that the curse with its withering and deadening disease and all the dire effects of Adam's fall will be removed. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, we'll start in verse 12. It says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. But if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so the gift for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." So it says right here that by the sin of Adam, we were all made sinners. But then it says in verse 17, it says, "For by one man's sin, offense death reigned by one, but much more they which received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one." And then it says Jesus Christ. So it's the only way to get to heaven, the only way to have salvation is through Jesus Christ. And then it says in verse number 18, it says, "Therefore by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." And then if you look down in 21, "That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." So, you know, all these ones that preach says there's more ways to get to heaven. It's this, my Bible don't teach but by one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way to get to heaven is by one, and that one is Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain on Calvary. You know, Jesus Christ, he is gone to prepare a place for us. He's gone to prepare a city for us. And the only way to get there is if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And that's what I got for this morning. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the Sunday school hour. We pray that you just be with the preaching hour. We pray that you just be with Brother Drew and just give him the exact words you'd have him to say. I pray that you just be with all the ones traveling to get here this morning. And I just ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.